across your angle with that visionary shimmer. A strange thing to roll out a spell. Flowers of need, and you bend my day at the knee. Sit down, we'll frame the far side. Shapes live forever. Upon your beauty, shady as the day you were born. I'm leaving you alone with it. We're going sailing, design.
And that was Aldous Harding with Designer. Did you see what I did there?
Yeah, very nice.
Yeah. I saw her, 2016, 2017, maybe, in The Great Escape in Brighton.
Oh, cool.
And she was fairly new on the scene then, and she's just done so well. She's an incredible singer. But we're going to go into some of it. We've just taken you on a whistle-stop tour of the design history via my
keep you in
degree. Matt's going to join us in a second, but we're just going to throw out a couple of events first. So yes. Tell us what's happening in Southend.
Later in the month, obviously, it's half-term coming up, Saturday the 24th of February. You can be involved in Big Up Southend Makers Market, and there's lots of free kids' activities in association with that.
Nice.
So Big Up Southend is a buzzing monthly market for small businesses, taking over the first floor of the Victoria Centre on Southend High Street. So do pop along to that. That is organised by Indie Rock, Show Up Southend and the Design Cabin Company, CIC.
And that's from 11 till 4.
Mm.
And there's musicians too.
Should mention that. Yeah, some busking. And
we told you last week, but we're going to tell you again. It's the Peasants Revolt Birthday Vinyl Night. That's quite hard to say. In Brentwood on Friday the 2nd of February at 8 p.m. There will be some spinning vinyl.
Yep, free to attend and have lots of joyous occasion. And then over at Wivenhoe Park in Colchester. It is the last week to visit 30 years of the Essex collection of art from Latin America. So that's on until the 2nd of February. It's open from Tuesdays to Fridays from 11:30 till 5, but you can go on a Saturday by appointment. You just need to email jess@essex.ac.uk, and the exhibition showcases artworks and archival documents from its collection across the Colchester campus.
And the Mercury Shopping Centre in Romford is offering
to Carrie
Treasure or Treason. Is this again? Yeah. Oh, this is so cool. So Treasure or Treason, the escape room, is open again. It's on Fridays in January and February. It's £10 for a booking of four, and all the money goes towards Kaleidoscope, which is brilliant. The room takes you on a fun journey to the past, where intriguing facts and stories lead you to the real treasure. Can you beat the clock, and will you get the best time? Experience this high quality immersive space with quirky sounds and a unique atmosphere to have fun with your friends and family. It's all on Eventbrite.
Yeah, it's great. I've played it with Charlotte. It is actually one of the best escape rooms I've been to. So yeah, big shout out to Carrie and Hannah Davis,
and Hannah, the glorious Hannah,
immersive experience as well. So
she's so creative.
Definitely,
she's amazing.
Worth a visit. And then Creative Industry Pizza and Chat.
Oh yes.
So Matt's looking awkward at the side of us. I don't know if his microphone's on yet.
We
can introduce Matt to the conversation now. But if you are 16 to 24, 25, or you can be a year older than we've said. If you're 16 to 25 and you're interested in a slice of the creative action.
Did you see what we did there?
Yeah. You can come and join us, as in all three of us who are sat here at the moment, to talk about the creative industries moving forward in Brentwood.
Yes, very exciting. You can come and join us on the 1st of February, that's Thursday night, from 5 till 7 at the Brentwood Theatre, with pizza and drinks provided. And come and help us shape this new project that we want to apply for some funding for. Mm. So come along for that.
Very important.
There are flyers, and it's on socials and stuff. So you'll find it on Facebook and on our Twitter pages and on our website.
It's going to be quite a relaxed night, so don't worry. We're not going to make you do
much. And also, just a final mention that Thursday, the 1st of February, is Time to Talk Day. And Wellbeing in the Arts, who've been on the show before, is offering a chance to try a counselling session for as little as £5. So they say, if you think that you might benefit from a session with a counsellor, perhaps you've never had counselling before and would just like to try it out. To mark Time to Talk Day on Thursday, the 1st of February, they're offering a single online one-to-one session from as little as £5. All proceeds will go to Mind Charity and Rethink, and you can find out more at wellbeinginthearts.org.uk and go to their event pages. And it's a really good idea if you've never tried counselling before and you're a little bit worried about the commitment. Just go along and have a chat to one of their counsellors and just find out what it actually feels
like.
So yeah, anyway, let's move on to a bit more music, and then we're going to bring Matt into the conversation about design. We're going to go to Elbow's got a new song out. This is different. Lover's Leap.
Blame me.
that was Elbow's new one, Lover's Leap. I quite like that. It's different.
Yeah.
It's got Elbow's, you know, cool
sound. To start with, it doesn't sound like Elbow.
No, it sounds quite different at the beginning. Anyway, hello, Matt. Thanks for coming in.
Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Thanks very much for having me.
Well, we've been talking all this week on socials about design and inspired by conversations with yourself around... Well, we didn't want to say good and bad design. It's not just about good and bad design, but it's about the thinking process and the thought process.
And problematic designs as
problematic
well.
Problematic designs.
Controversial designs.
Controversial. Yes. So we've just had a little bit of a whiz through design history. And we're kind of, I think we've been talking about why design is important. But I just wanted to start with you. Why did you get into design? So you run Blue Serif, and you've been on the show a number of times. And I'm very upset to see that the Blue Serif hasn't come in with you today.
I think a certain someone might tell me off tomorrow.
I think they will.
The Blue Sheriff.
Him himself.
But what was your introduction to design? What's the kind of first time that you remember being aware of design?
Well, I think at school I always struggled a little bit with education. I'm dyslexic. And sort of the creative subjects were always the ones that I tended to go towards. And I think... it was sort of a recommendation through my parents, actually, that an option to look at just a specific design career or creative career rather than maybe doing sort of the grunt work of A-levels. So, you know, this is back when sort of BTs, BTECs were all new. And now, you know, the plethora of different creative courses and opportunities is fantastic. So this was great, and I couldn't quite believe it when I was taken around an art college and they said, so basically you can do this for 2 years and you design and you learn about theories and you learn about designers and influencers within that sector and you do all of these projects and there's no exams.
Yeah.
Yay!
Surely this doesn't exist. This is brilliant. Well, and it will give me a qualification and then I can go on from there to do other things. Yep. Where do I sign?
As a kid when you were growing up, obviously kind of recognising that you were interested in all things creative, are there things that you now look back and think? Because when I was a kid, as I've said a number of times, I did design history. I lived in Newcastle, and quite near to Newcastle is this amazing living museum called Beamish. And if you haven't been, it's really worth a trip because it is a step back in time. But what I was fascinated with every time I went to Beamish was packaging design. I was really, really interested. And there was a point that I remember in my kind of early, I don't know, maybe very, very early teens when I started thinking about collecting packaging. You know, like, will this packaging still be the packaging in 10 years time? And then I was kind of aware that there were packaging museums. There's one in Gloucester, I think. And I really loved that idea of the kind of changing a design of a product, and you can see its evolution over time and through the decade of influence on that design. Were there things like that that you were noticing when you were a kid?
I would definitely. I mean, if I look back, my grandfather was actually into publishing, and I remember we used to spend a lot of our summer holidays up in Scotland, and sort of on rainy days, you know, let's what can you do creatively? And I think my grandmother suggested, oh, why don't you write a little report to send back to mum and dad who were away? And I thought, well, I'll design it in a sort of newspaper style, magazine style. And I think my grandmother had a very old typewriter, and it was quite laborious.
Doing zines. That's before they were even invented. Yeah.
So that was great fun, and I do remember I even created an ad for my grandmother's soups and called it like Granny's Great Soups or something. And
Granny's Great Soups.
Exactly. I think that was the first ever bit of what I would call graphic design I ever did.
Yeah.
And, you know, you see with design quite often when you're given a task, it's almost like a jigsaw. And you know there's, in your mind, you've got an end vision, but you've got to fit the pieces together. You've got to understand where everything goes and how you can communicate everything to your audience, but using all the bits that you've got. you know, and sometimes professionally when we have a brief, they can be really restrictive briefs, but you've got to try and maximise the components that you have. And I think that's the bit that really excited me. And I really liked the fact that you could then see where that could go into different areas. Not just a magazine, but it could be a, you know, a TV ad, or it could be, as you say, a bit of packaging. So I think that sort of visual communication was the thing that spurred me on. And that was, you know, that is the job of a graphic designer.
And that whole communication piece is, I mean, I think when I thought about design when I was younger, I didn't really think about what design does to communicate to the world. And that is such an important part of being a designer, isn't it? So in, no matter what kind of design you're going into, that visual communication is huge. And, you know, when I've done projects with you or projects with other people that have been around kind of marketing or kind of advertising or looking at kind of brands and those sorts of things, you're absolutely tuning in. You're almost like turning into a psychologist because you're tuning in to what people feel from design, aren't you?
And you're absolutely right. You're having to analyse who are the target market for that piece, and understand what makes them tick. Why are they going to suddenly switch on by a bit of visual communication to be attracted to whatever you're, you know, selling, advertising? And again, I think it's one of the great things about our job is that we have to go into businesses and understand what makes them tick, what is their brand all about, but what makes their audience tick, so that we can really understand. And, you know, it is getting under the skin. And I love it. And you learn so much as well. From
it's a bit,
you know,
like being a detective, really, isn't it?
Yes, in a way.
Psychologist slash detective.
Yeah.
With
like
a creep,
fitting
with
all
a,
of the pieces together and then coming out with what you believe is true at the end.
Yeah. And it's in the same way, I suppose, you know, the whole kind of creative industries is it is very driven by either what we need or what we feel. And so that kind of idea of you've got to meet those two things, haven't you? You've got to meet basic human needs, but you've also got to make us feel something through art and design. And I think that's the kind of really, when you get it right, that's a really exciting thing. I've been thinking about the things that you've done in your career. What are the things that you know are like, have been really successful in achieving that kind of making people feel different about the design, or something, or just something that you're really proud of that you've done in your career? I mean, there's been loads of things that you're really proud of. I'm sorry, I've put you on the spot there.
It is a bit. I think the joy that I get is from not only the reaction of the end client, but the projects I love doing is those different touch points.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I've really enjoyed branding, because you can see someone's dream and you bring it to life in an identity, but it's... Branding is obviously not just the logo. It's everything that sits around it, from the colour scheme to the fonts to, you know, we often refer to it as a visual brand language. It's the graphical devices. It's how, and then you see how that can be put into all the different mediums, you know, whether it's printed, whether it's digital, whether it's motion graphics. Mm-hmm. And I think those sort of projects where you see them all in different touch points are great. I mean, I remember working for some of my sort of first big brands, and you sometimes see a bit of work, you know, on a billboard, or you'll see it on you know, online, and that's always, you know, really, really proud. And I love, you know, when you're giving projects to the team members and they see their work come to life and they see it in action.
That must be huge.
Like,
huge
for the first time.
It is.
I always think my friend Pauline, shout out to Pauline, she is a product designer, packaging designer, sorry, and I always think whenever she goes down the supermarket aisles, she must kind of look at all these designs that she's done. And, you know, she's done really big household names. I mean, she's behind penguins on the penguin biscuit. She's been involved.
She is the penguin lady.
She's a penguin lady.
Wow. Does she do the jokes
as
well?
You've never mentioned this before.
I don't think she does the jokes. No,
I think she
just draws the penguins, which is enough, right?
Yeah.
She's also done, you know, midget gems, those ice gems, those little bags of sugar on a biscuit
with the polar bears.
Yes, that's her. She's the polar bear. I know.
I bet she's a terror to play the logo game with.
Yeah, she's really good. She's really good at it. Really good at it. Yeah. But yeah, I'm just kind of like, she, you know, she's very humble about what she does. But I just, you know, I buy things and go, look, Pauline, you designed this. But I think that is incredible when you see all those things happening in real life, and whether that's kind of, you know, a corporate who's been able to then kind of, you know, share something with their audience that's worked really well for them, or whether it's, you know, walking down the supermarket.
It's really fun though to bring it back to a human.
Yeah,
you know, because I think you spend so much of your life as a child looking at things, thinking that it is made by a company, but you never really think about the person that's put that colour.
I think that's really relevant. I mean, especially now with AI, it's a conversation we've had a lot internally. You know, how is that going to affect the industry? But I'm a massive firm believer that the human input into creativity and to idea generation can't be replaced, and AI might be there to be a great tool for efficiencies, but
for the creation process.
Yeah,
Okay. Let's have a little bit of music, and then we'll come back and talk about, is good and bad design a thing, or is it just us all being very subjective? Let's listen to Harvest Sun, Just Because I'm Okay.
Thought there's this thing, I don't know what it is, but I can't put it down. Yeah, there's this thing, wish I could show it to you, but I don't know how. So I keep carrying it round. I'm wide awake, I can't explain, can't escape. If the issue's on my mind, is the issue only mine? Don't complain, put it down, but who are you to explain how I look like I'm doing just fine? Just because I'm okay doesn't mean it's okay. Inside I'm like a hurricane, but you never tell. Even though I'm cold, you believe I'm tough. Now I've woken up. Each feather hits me like a ton of bricks from you, but now I've had enough. You try picking it up. I'm wide awake, wide awake. I can't explain, can't escape. If the issue's on my mind, it's the issue.
Cottage came to market. This stylish flat made a home. This country house had hundreds of steps, whilst this bungalow had none. And this little semi said, me, 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 make me your home.
Whatever your property requirements, Beresford's have it covered. To book your free valuation, pop into one of our 17 branches across Essex and into Greater London, or visit beresfords.co.uk.
Immerse yourself in the true Mediterranean essence at Lealina Modern Lebanese, nestled on Billericay's vibrant high street. Uncover the magic of our hidden garden. Sip on exceptional cocktails, savour unforgettable cuisine, and create cherished memories that linger long after you leave. Enjoy a complimentary glass of house wine when you mention Phoenix FM upon booking. Available Sunday to Thursday. Terms and conditions apply.
Need a will? Facing redundancy or an employment issue? Searching for some family legal advice? Seeking legal guidance for your commercial business? Or maybe you are moving property and are looking for an excellent conveyancer? Whatever the legal service, for life, business and everything in between, Pinny Telford Solicitors have it covered. Find out more online at www.pinnytelford.co.uk or call our Brentwood office on 01277 211 755 to book an appointment.
The all-new Players Lounge has got everything you need for the perfect night out, with two bars, a restaurant and the best sound and lighting system in Essex. With regular special events and guest DJs, you're always guaranteed a brilliant night at Players. On the 5th of February, it's top DJ Roman Kemp, and on the 12th of February, it's the Stars of House with Marcus Dryden, Mickey Star Lewis and Daryl Privett. Check us out and book now at players-lounge.co.uk.
And we're back in the studio, and what was that song? I can't even remember what we've just played. What did we play?
Harvest Sun, just
Harvest
because
Sun.
I'm okay.
Yeah, that was nice. So we are talking to Matt all about design, and I pose this question, and you told me not to, so I'm going to do it. But I pose this question about whether we should say good or bad design, and what? You were like, is there such a thing as good? But there is such a thing as bad design, isn't there? Because bad design does lead to some problems.
Oh, yes. There's sort of bad design in terms of things just don't work because someone's decided to put yellow text on white, for example.
Yes, exactly.
Classic. But then there's subjective bad design. You know, let's say the London 2012 logo.
Oh, now stop.
Oh. Have I gone too far too soon?
What's wrong with the London 2012?
This is where we realised that Claire has designed that logo.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
But
that cost
80%,
stupid amount of money to
turn that
logo. It
cost £400,000.
Wow.
And 80% of the public hated it.
Mm.
But it's now become probably one of the most iconic Olympic logos and brands, because it had so much longevity to it, and the fact that it went all the way through both the main Olympics, well, they should all be main, but the main Olympics and the Paralympics, and it was so versatile in the way that it was used. But I think people just felt that it was such a departure from the, you know, probably seen as the traditional, you know, brand identity of Olympic Games, when you look back to the likes of Sydney and it's...
You know, do you know what people said it looked like?
You're going to tell me, because I do remember, but I can't...
It's to do with The Simpsons. There was a reference...
There was a reference
at one point that one of them looked like... One half of it looked like Maggie Simpson.
I can see that.
And there was a sort of potential inappropriateness about it.
Oh, I see that now.
I mean, you know, whatever you do, this is the other thing about design, isn't
it?
Once you see it, you can't unsee it.
Yeah.
And also, you've got to test these things out on a user audience, haven't you? Because sometimes, you know, you as we showed in some of the examples on Facebook, sometimes you do things and then you realise, oh, crikey, why did we do that? Because in another language, in another culture, in another kind of viewing of it, turn it upside down, turn it around the other way around, it might look like
something.
Do
you remember when GIF, the brand, turned to SIF because pronunciation was difficult in East Asia?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a practical change, isn't it?
I mean, and it's also based on, you know, regions. They'll have different interpretations. But there'll always be someone there'll always be something critical that people will find, and that's why it's subjective. And I think you know, again, if you look away from, say, graphic design and look at physical design, even architecture, and even the Millennium Dome, you know, okay, it was controversial because of the amount of money, but actually it's an iconic part of the London skyline now. And you'll get, you know, controversy wherever, but that controversy leads itself into, quite often, ultimately,
memorable design.
Memorable and good design. But good design has to be functional, has to do its job.
Yeah.
Especially in our sector, in terms of graphic design, it's there to do a purpose. So, as you say, if you've done your research, it aligns with the audience that it's supposed to be communicating to. But there are obviously certain no-nos, even for us.
You sent us a very funny link to a website called webdesignerdepot.com, and it had a whole bunch of logos that, for all sorts of reasons,
some very inappropriate,
just really, really inappropriate, which I laughed quite a lot. But then you also showed us some redesigns. So we had a look at some logos that had been redesigned. And this kind of stemmed from the conversation, one of the conversations that we were having the week, and your enthusiasm for the Gap logo.
it's just legendary how bad it is. Not currently, but back, and I think it was back sort of early 2000s, Gap made a decision that they were going to rebrand, and they obviously hadn't done their research very well. And they rolled up a massive rebrand, and I think you've put it on the socials so people can see, into something that looks very corporate, has basically ignored all of the heritage, all of the love that the customers and the users of, you know, the purchasers of brand of the Gap brand clothes love about the brand. Just basically totally disregarded it and tried to come up with something that ultimately failed. And there was such a huge backlash straight away that they then went through a massive, costly revert back to the old brand within 7 days. So that's why people don't realise it actually happened. But there was a Gap rebrand, but it only lasted 7 days.
It's just a small gap between their existing brand.
And somebody put a note on Facebook saying that actually the kind of the redesign, the one that was there for all of 7 days, looks very like a you know, something Microsoft would come up with.
Yeah, Microsoft, you know, or even some sort of consultancy based in the city. You know, not a major kind of high street retail brand.
Yeah. The word Gap with a little square.
I guess when you get to the stage of global brand, though, you're not just looking at what your customers might enjoy, but also what your customers already know, which is your existing brand. And, you know, it's quite a dangerous thing to rebrand when you were that big.
The other one we put on was eBay. So tell us about this one, because this, you know, to all intents and purposes, they've played around with the letters and the colours and the position of
them. This is a really good use of typography. The original eBay logo with you've got both upper and lowercase, you've got letters that have been manipulated, whether, you know, horizontally or vertically, even the baseline, so we call it the baseline, is the position where the letters sit naturally, is all all different, and it kind of represents, and obviously you've got all the different colors, and it's representing all of the diverse things that you can get on eBay.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone knows that you can
some things are bigger, some things are smaller, some things are pretty much anything in this world
you can get on eBay.
Yeah.
And that was the joy of it, that sort of variety, and it had personality.
Yeah.
And then
it's got movement as well in it as well, because those letters are not on the baseline or lined up, stacked up with even spacing. It's this kind of it's almost like the jumble of stuff that you take out the loft and you stick on eBay. Like it's got this mix match of everything in it. But then they changed it.
And there were quite a few brands around the same sort of time that were trying to simplify their identity and try and keep things
minimalist.
They also felt, okay, there's an element of being accessible, and I think that's a very valid point. Mm-hmm. It makes it easier to understand in that, in the new identity, but there's accessibility for accessibility's point, but then you're losing that brand value, which is,
and
you know, that its uniqueness
in it as well.
It's definitely that the trend, though. I mean, I remember around the same time, Next changed to a more simplistic design. M&S changed to a more simplistic design.
Well, don't get him started on Debate Smith.
Oh.
So this is a new brand that you can look out
for. WHS.
But actually, WH Smith's done a number of different things, haven't they? So they've over the last 10 years, they've done some interesting things. So they had their, I can't remember which anniversary it was, but they have one of their anniversaries where they brought back the orange, brownie orange logo from the '70s, and they kind of, all the bags and everything was suddenly like, let's take you down memory lane.
Yeah, they had that sort of 3D cube of WHS.
Yes.
And then the written full name next to it.
But in that very 70s brownie orangey colour. And they've also got, they've also kind of diversified their shops, haven't they? So they've got the kind of the big, you know, because they're big high streets, WH Smiths have struggled more.
Mm.
They've got these smaller kind of just reading shops, haven't they? So that's more like WH Selects books for you to read, and they're kind of at train stations and airports and things like that. So they've kind of, they've sort of looked at that different positioning of the reading audience only, away from their kind of broader customer. So is that WH Smith, that new, is that now being rolled out everywhere, or is that just...
I don't think so. Oh well, to be honest,
places,
I don't know. I mean,
don't,
you know,
have the insider scoop.
No,
on
unfortunately
WH Smith.
Not. I mean, they're more than welcome to knock on our door and ask for some advice. But they did roll out over Christmas in Preston, and I think a few other places, these trial locations where they've just taken down the frontage of the shop and just put WHS.
Yes.
Which, with the colours and the font, looks very similar to NHS.
Yeah.
So if people were suddenly going in asking where their flu jabs were, or, you know, if they could get some plasters.
Yeah.
And I see that. You
WHS
know,
would probably go, that's, yeah, you can probably do that here.
Yeah, I think they probably
just cost twice the price than anywhere else.
But in light of brands like, you know, Wilko's and other high street brands that have struggled and disappearing, although I did hear on the radio the other day that Woolworths might be coming back.
Oh, really?
But also Wilko, because the range bought the intellectual property of the brand of Wilko. They didn't necessarily buy.
Yeah, so they
else.
May well come out.
They just bought the brand.
I just think there's, again, the naming, and I know that over the past years they've played on the WHS, but always in context of the full name. And I think it's, you know, it's shown from other retail brands, as we've just discussed, that it's a potentially dangerous...
It is really difficult to make that decision to kind of rethink your retail brand, particularly when you've been around the scene for quite some time. But you're conscious about the need to modernise and thinking about, you know, our high streets are not the place where people congregate to shop only anymore. There are different purposes for high streets now. So I guess that they're trying to think about that kind of positioning.
And I think also they are probably looking at what their customer base wants nationally and regionally. And as you say, there are different requirements, you know, in different parts of the country, that they're probably thinking that's actually what their audience wants. And I think it's, you know, at least they didn't do the full whole hog like Gap.
Yes.
And they're doing it as a trial. So, you know, credit. You know, you might as well try things, but...
I just really liked it when they brought back the WH Smith in the square. And the
really nice.
On the
and actually really and lovely, I think really lovely colours that stand out from, you know, quite safe British brands that you see on the high street.
Stop using blue.
Yeah, blue. I mean, I love blue, obviously.
Oh, my goodness me.
I think that blue was colour of the year 2019. No, honestly. have a look on the Pantone chart.
It was this year. It was in like an
this year. It's
peach
fuzz.
It? Peach fuzz. That was
I was
it.
Looking
peach
at
fuzz.
It yesterday. Yeah, but I was looking down until the 2000s, and I'm pretty sure 2019 was that blue.
Wow.
because you look back and actually you remember brands and clothing and colours, and those eras are connected to those colours of the year.
It goes back to how people feel as well, doesn't it? Because at the moment, because we're in this, you know, this kind of post-lockdown, you know, terrible financial situation as a country, you could imagine that actually lots of people want to feel nostalgic.
Mm.
That the feelings of nostalgia, or the kind of the response to something nostalgic that makes you feel like, oh, that's, you know, that's making me feel better, I really like those things. So that kind of whole, you know, changing it up and making it trying to be something new is so much more challenging than actually a brand that has got this huge history behind it that actually just keeps pointing people back to nostalgia, to a place where it'll be wonderful again. Don't worry, we'll come round again, it'll be wonderful again. So I do wonder whether places like those big high street brands just need to keep telling us, we've been here for decades, we'll survive this, we'll keep going.
Yeah.
It's interesting that you talk about Woolworths coming back. I have no idea whether that's possible, but did Woolworths as a store, as a global store, did that close completely everywhere? Because, you know, like C&A.
Yeah, C&A is huge in Europe, isn't it?
It's everywhere you go in Europe, you see C&A, but of course it stopped.
There are Woolworths in one country. Somebody bought the intellectual property of Woolworths. So that's how it's coming back.
Yeah.
If we suddenly have our pick and mix as sort of Swedish...
I just found it's 2020, classic blue was colour of the year.
Oh, there you go.
Which is very much W.H. Smith blue, isn't it?
I wonder how much is influenced also by politics. Because I think...
Could be.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, that's
another show. I'm not going into that one.
BT, definitely a different show.
We don't do politics on the show. BT has also changed. Has it actually changed its logo to that?
We put that
on Facebook as well.
Yeah,
so
that new, very kind of simple, more purple
blue.
With the surrounding. The circle is supposed to replace the globe.
Mm. Yeah.
And the globe stemmed from representing, before there was the figure before in the previous version, the lady with the trumpet.
Yeah.
And obviously that became obsolete as the digital age came really into full, and that's why they rebranded to create the globe. But now in this trend of minimalist
identities. Because they've done that to lettering as well, haven't they? They've really looked at the font. Because the BT font was quite memorable, wasn't it? And they've just gone for a much more of a...
Yeah. And it used to be obviously British Telecom and...
Yeah.
So now, you know, simplifying.
But I guess they've had to change, haven't they? Because innovation has changed the way we use phone technology. Mm. Actually, a lot of their output and product is surrounding the internet.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break now, and we're going to come back and wrap up this argument, because this discussion, not an argument, because it is a quarter to...
I haven't started.
Putting our boxing gloves on.
We've contained Matt. It's quarter to six, and we need to get to the end of the show very quickly. But let's come back after this break.
Phoenix FM.
At Active Signs and Designs Limited, our team are passionate about getting you noticed. First impressions are everything. So if you're driving a commercial vehicle, how are people seeing you? Our vehicle graphic products and well-designed signage can make you stand out from the crowd. Give the team a call on 01708 343 555 or visit us at activesignsanddesigns.co.uk and start getting your business noticed today.
Are you hungry? Then why not try an award-winning Indian takeaway from Hut and Spice? All our meals are cooked to order using the freshest ingredients, bringing you the finest traditional Indian dishes. To order, visit our website at www.hutandspice.com or give us a call on Brentwood 226 124 and see why we're the favourite choice of customers across Brentwood to Billericay.
Get the home improvements you've always wanted at a price you can afford with SEHBAC and our biggest January sale. There's up to 50% off our stunning range of windows, doors, conservatories and extensions, and the option to buy now, pay in January 2025 or 2 years interest free. Transform your home for less with SEHBAC. Get inspiration at your nearest SEHBAC showroom or at SEHBAC.com. Representative 19.9% APR. Terms and conditions apply.
If you're up for a fantastic challenge, for an inspiring cause, why not take on the Baker's Brentwood Half Marathon for St. Francis Hospice? Taking place in March 2024, it's a great opportunity to get fit, make a difference, and be part of Team SFH. For more information and to find out how you can take part, just search St. Francis Hospice Brentwood Half.
Another new one, that's Keane. The Sun Ain't Gonna Shine Anymore. They've got a new EP out. So we've come to the end of the show. We've got to squeeze two more tracks in.
Yeah.
But also, Matt, thank you very much for coming on the show and for talking to us about design.
Thank you for inviting me.
I think we might need to get you to come back and do another session because this is.
We didn't get to do the slogan quiz.
We didn't get to do the slogan quiz. Give us one.
Okay. On the spot.
Okay,
I'm going to find the dirty one.
While you're finding that, there's lots of secret messages in logos as well.
Yeah.
So you know, people may or may not know about the FedEx arrow, for example.
Is it rude?
Oh well, it's not rude. Not everything has to be rude, Glenn.
I'm on radio. My radio. Please don't say anything rude.
No, if you look at the FedEx logo, you will see that there is a hidden arrow Once you've seen it, you can't unsee it.
Oh, gosh. Everybody now look things, at the FedEx logo.
And it's things, subliminal messages, like in Amazon, where the arrow, it goes from A to Z.
Oh, and it's a smile as well.
And it's a smile. It's a but smile. It's about delivering everything from A to Z.
Okay, so I'm going to look at the FedEx logo. So you're, oh, now I can't stop seeing it.
You've seen it.
I've seen it straight away. Now I can't stop seeing it.
Between the E and the X.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
If it just you haven't pops seen out, it, everyone should go and have a look at that.
Amazing.
That's really cool. So one naughty slogan for Claire.
Go on then.
The more you play with it, the harder it gets.
What is that?
What is that? This was from a real advertising brand slogan campaign in the 90s to UK audiences for the Sega Mega Drive.
Oh, my Brilliant. Goodness me. That's
not Play-Doh.
Advertising. That's what I was thinking. What
there were there were some other taglines on that that were even worse. This is
we can't even discuss this topic.
It's memorable though, right?
It is memorable. Give me one more. We've got a couple of minutes.
One
Give me
more. Okay, this one's really easy, but it's probably the most humble slogan in the world. Probably the best beer in the world.
Carlsberg.
Yeah, you remember it because it's so humble.
And what's really interesting is the adaptations that have been used using that slogan.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, the way that they extended it to be if Carlsberg did this, it would probably be the best.
Yeah.
Their advertising campaigns are probably the best.
There are other beers available.
Yeah.
Well, that was really, really cool. Thank you so much for that. And next week we have got Spencer coming back into the studio because I am not in next week, and it's all about the Romford Horror Film Festival.
And we will be joined by actress Aviana Snow.
Amazing.
Yes.
Up next is Nigel bringing us a warm dose of soul and funk that we need for a cold Sunday evening. But first, we're going to leave you with one final track. Goodie and an oldie, The Waterboys, The Hole of the Moon. That's all for now. I've been Claire.
And I've been Natalie. And this has been the Arts Programme on Phoenix FM.
You held it in your hands. I had flashes. On the hour, across Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM. News.